And with me right now is Rebecca Labina of the Northwest Missouri State University Small Business Development Center. Rebecca, thanks for being here.
Glad to be here inside where it's warm.
That makes a difference today. Boy, it's just, and it's going to get cold this weekend again.
Bite your tongue, Barry.
I'm hoping that somebody can pull us out of this.
I would love for the weather forecast to change, yes.
Yeah, it would be great. Well, you have an interesting topic that you brought in this morning. Because we've all heard all these different things about the government shutdown and how it affected the economy, and you've actually got some data on that. And so, why don't you share with us what are some of the things that we noticed or that have been noticed about the effect of government shutdown on small business?
Right. So we all have heard about the federal employees. That's a known. Whenever there's a partial government shutdown, that federal employees are the ones that are hit the hardest. But because they are, you know, without pay for X amount of days, however long the government shutdown lasts, there's a domino effect, if you will. And so it doesn't just affect federal employees. It also affects businesses who have contracts with federal agencies, who rely on other federal, or also affects small businesses who rely on federal agencies for approval of things like SBA loans or fisheries that need tags for their boats, and the FDA who has to do an inspection and things like that. So it has this effect of, you know, if your vendor it has a large account with the federal government, it slows their sales, which means that they spend less. And if your customers are federal employees, for example, they're spending less. And so they've actually done some studies in the last few years over the, you know, that are specific to those timelines for the government shutdowns. And they found that those federal employees spend 10 to 15% less of their total household income because they are furloughed. And so that, of course, you know, can lead to lower consumer spending, obviously, but it also leads to lower employee morale for those individuals that know those people or live in those households as their spouse or something like that. So the White House chief economist already warned that the economic growth would fall to basically 0%, whereas, you know, the GDP ended up being a little above 2% growth last month, and it's been doing 2 to 3% every quarter last year. But this quarter is going to be the first one where they're not going to see a growth, they believe. And they're expecting it to equate to about an $8 billion loss. That's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. But is that spread across the whole economy?
It is. And so what you have to always remember when you hear those huge numbers is that, yes, $8 billion is a ton of money. But in a $20 trillion national economy, it's less than half of 1% of the total economy. So, yes, there's an effect. But it's much smaller than what some media outlets might lead you to believe, that, you know, the world is not falling, the economy is not going to crash. It's just simply a small effect, but it does affect businesses.
One of the things that we heard about during the shutdown was that there were government employees, federal government employees, who were unable to meet their mortgage payments and so forth, and were in danger of losing their houses. It seemed to me that some of that might be exaggerated a little bit. I'm sure that there were people who had, you know, had to stretch their budget quite a bit, but I don't think you could lose your house for missing one payment or maybe even two payments.
Right. Yes. In the mortgage industry, they don't repossess houses that quickly. So thankfully, that's the case. Most federal employees only missed two paychecks. Some missed three, but that was about the extent of it. Almost all of the previous federal shutdowns only included one paycheck, missed paycheck, or a portion of a paycheck because they're paid, you know, every other week. So many of them, anyway, are paid every other week. Some are paid monthly. So it really that's sad if that's the case, that there were some people who it affected that way. But in the grand scheme of things, I think those were probably individuals who were – it was a single-income household, and so they were strictly relying on – they were going paycheck to paycheck.
Did anybody study whether some of these employees went to get unemployment insurance?
I do not know the answer to that. So I don't know if they actually were eligible for unemployment or not. I would imagine that they would be. Anybody else that's furloughed is able to get unemployment. So
maybe they were thinking or hoping, well, it's only going to last for a week or so.
Sure. And then it ended up lasting over 30 days, and that's unheard of. It was a record and not a good one that we want to set.
Right.
Not the good kind of records. So, but they were certainly eligible for unemployment. Unfortunately, the way unemployment works is it's a process like anything else. And if you apply for it, it still takes a while to receive your first check. So generally speaking, in the past, it's been less than 2 weeks. All of the previous shutdowns have been less than 2 weeks, except for one, which was 21 days. That was under the Clinton administration. And so all the others were short-lived, some as short as 2 to 3 days. And so I would imagine if they'd been in the system, the federal employees have been in the system for a while, they didn't expect it to last this long.
What were some of the things that we learned about small businesses or from small business owners who were surveyed about the impact that this had on them?
Yeah, CNBC, along with SurveyMonkey, did a survey at the end of January, from January 28th to February 4th, of a little over 2,200 small businesses across the country. And what that found was that 35% of small business owners nationwide said that they did experience a sales slowdown. So they saw, compared to last year at the same time, they saw a slowdown in their sales, attributable to the lack of demand from their nearby federal workers. And those along the East Coast were affected more heavily because around the Washington, D.C. area, where a lot of federal workers live, there was a much larger effect there, as well as some of the other hubs for federal employees across the country. And another 13% of those small business owners reported that they received a direct loss of revenue from a contract with a government agency, which makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Now, there were also apparently some, we heard a little bit about this in the media, regulatory approvals that were slowed down because of the government shutdown, that they had an effect also.
That's right. So the survey that, again, was done by CNBC and SurveyMonkey showed that 14% noted a delayed regulatory approval for products or services, and that 10% experienced restricted access to SBA, which is the Small Business Administration loans. So when you say that, it doesn't sound like a whole lot, 10%, but the SBA loans, they distribute over 300 loans per day on average. That's a lot of loans.
Yes.
And in the money scheme of things, they typically distribute over $200 million of loans a day, per day, $200 million. So in the weeks that they were shut down, there was a significant amount of money that was not accessible to business owners who had been approved for loans, mm-hmm. because the SBA couldn't close on the loans, and that's what happened. And so there were some business owners out there, even local business owners. There's a local brewery in Kansas City that was pouring out about $20,000 worth of beer because it was not able to get the necessary labeling approved by the Alcohol and Tobacco Tax and Trade Bureau. So, and that's required in order to label the beer and package it and sell it, and they couldn't get that done. And they couldn't keep their beer, so they were like giving it away or to some veterans and stuff like that. But they were also having to pour it out.
So there were some effects that we may not have really learned much about,
right?
That just sort of happened under the surface,
mm-hmm.
That are a part of our economy in ways that maybe we just don't even suspect.
Yeah, the Federal Commerce Department issues tags for fishing vessels. So the commercial fishermen that need federal approval for leasing licenses or tags for their fishing vessels, all of those, due to the shutdown, those fleets were not operating at full capacity because they couldn't get those tags. And so they were not meeting their anticipated catch goals, which created a loss in revenue for the fishery industry as a whole over the course of basically from the end of December to the end of January.
Just another one of those sort of unseen things that happened in where most of us don't really notice what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But I did hear about the fact that E-Verify was not available.
Yes.
And that there were all these dire predictions about how this was going to impact the jobs numbers when they finally came out.
Mm-hmm.
It turned out to be maybe not quite what people thought.
It wasn't. So that was true that there was an inability to utilize E-Verify to screen new employees. However, and this information just came out recently, the January jobs report showed an additional 304,000 jobs were added to the national payroll, making it the 100th consecutive month in a row for payroll expansion. Mm-hmm. So,
and that was a huge number. I remember it was way above what had been predicted.
Absolutely, it was more than double what they had predicted. As a matter of fact, they thought because of the shutdown and because of the E-Verify not having access to that, it wouldn't expand at all. If anything, it might even have a negative effect, but it didn't. Thankfully, like we said, you have to look at the big grand scheme of things and how many, people there are in the population. And I mean, 304,000 new additional jobs is almost as much as the number of federal employees that were furloughed. It was 400,000 or 500,000 were affected by the partial shutdown.
Well, some were.
Others were actually working, but without pay.
Right. Because I think the total number affected was like 800,000.
Yes.
But some were essential, some were non-essential.
Yes, and all 800,000 were without pay. That's true. But the ones that were non-essential who were not officially working, so it was almost the same amount as that. Yeah.
More with Rebecca Labina just ahead. Talking with Rebecca Labina of the Northwest Missouri State University Small Business Development Center about the government shutdown. And kind of looking back on the government shutdown, some studies have been done to learn how various parts of the economy were affected. Were there some things, Rebecca, that maybe turned out not to be true or turned out to be true that were contrary to expectations?
Yeah, one in particular is that there was a lot of talk about businesses putting off making large asset purchases, and how that might affect the economy overall. Yet, when you look back at January, the official numbers that came out, Wall Street, for example, had the biggest January gain in more than 30 years at 7%. That's a huge, huge gain that nobody expected with the government shutdown going on. So that shows how strong our overall economy is, despite the small effect from the government shutdown.
And I think there were some people, especially I can understand people in the Washington area being very, very worried about it because mm-hmm. they're real close to the problem and like the epicenter of the whole thing. And maybe had a sort of exaggerated view of what might happen, and mm-hmm. it didn't happen.
Yes.
Not to the whole economy.
Yes, and thankfully so. We're really glad. There, all of the futurists and economists that are the professionals and experts that look at these things and try to figure out and tell the future on what's going to happen, I think most of them were a lot more dire or made to sound more dire than what the true effects were. And I'm glad of that. I know that small businesses were affected, but it was a sales slowdown, not enough that would cause any serious concern. There were some small businesses who were affected where if they did need a loan, for example, whether it was an SBA loan or otherwise, if they needed a loan and their sales had slowed down, then that reflects on their financial statements. And so then when they turn those into the bank and say, I'd like to get a loan now, that makes it a little tougher mm-hmm. if they were affected, significantly. But there are things that business owners can do in preparation for government shutdowns, believe it or not. And I think that's something that they don't typically prepare for, but they should. And here's why. Despite the fact that the effects of a partial government shutdown are not horrific, but they are felt. And so, and knowing that we've had 21 shutdowns since the Congressional Budget Act of 1974, so out of the last 45 years, 21 of those 45 years have had a partial government shutdown. That's 47%. So basically every other year, if you want to average it out, there's going to be a government shutdown. Now, by far, over half of those were less than 5 days long. And so that's great. Usually government shutdowns are just, you know, just two, many of them were just 2 to 3 days over the end of the federal fiscal year, from the end of September to the first couple days of October. And then they, you know, get together and sign the budget and everything's hunky-dory again, right? And everybody's happy, if only, right? But knowing that it's coming, and knowing also that most of the time it's either the very beginning of October or middle of November or the end of December. That's usually when it hits. And so – and the lengthy ones have always been in December to carry it over to January. So knowing that that's when those things happen, there are several things that business owners can do. If you have government contracts – knowing that there's government shutdowns that are a possibility basically every year, then you should make sure that you've collected on those government contracts before that winter season hits, when government shutdowns tend to occur. Also make sure that your portfolio is just like in investments, you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. So if you have a lot of federal contracts and not a lot of private contracts, that's something to consider as well when the federal shutdown comes. Maybe you should save in advance to help carry you over that hump should the next government shutdown also last a month or more. I mean, we hope that it doesn't happen at all, but history tells us it's going to. So another thing directly for the federal workers, so not the business owners, but the actual federal workers themselves. If federal workers save 4%, so $40 out of every $1,000, 4% of their net take-home pay over their 26 pay periods over 1 year, then they'll have enough to get them through an entire paycheck. So they will have saved an entire paycheck by the time this comes around again next year. And so, and hopefully, again, it doesn't happen. But that's something that people can do, and businesses can do both, to try to make it so that it doesn't affect them or hit them as hard.
It's the prudent thing to do, that's for sure, to save a little bit for a rainy day. And
yes,
most of us learn at some point that it's good to have 2 months of paychecks or 5 months of paychecks or whatever the number is.
Yes.
In the bank, ready to go in case something happens.
Yes. And also historically, you know, almost, I think it's like 80 to 90% of all of the shutdowns only had an effect on one pay period, so one paycheck for the federal employees. So knowing that, again, just put aside the 4%, you know, which again is $40 out of every thousand over the next year. And should a government shutdown occur again, then at least those federal workers won't be scurrying and having to worry quite as much.
Mm-hmm. And I understand that might be easier said than done.
Sure.
For most of us, because you know, there's a famous saying, your needs rise to meet your income. And
so true.
it's all of a sudden you're at the end of the month and, hey, wait, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
So it's maybe easier to be in that position than it is to have all the money saved up that you need. But it's worth doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Rebecca, any final thoughts? We've got about 30 seconds left.
Okay. Well, the Small Business Development Center is here to help small business owners. Anyone with under 500 employees is considered a small business by the federal government. So we are here to help all of those businesses out there that need any type of assistance with financial, with finding financing, with strategic planning, with financial benchmarks and analysis and all kinds of other things that we can help with. Market research in particular is a specialty of our office. So they can get a hold of me. I'm inside the St. Joseph Chamber of Commerce.
There's no charge to customers.
That is correct.
Yep. It's all paid by the Small Business Administration.
Yes.
So, and your phone number?
My phone number is 816-364-4105.
Rebecca, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Barry.